Your recommendation straight from Instagram of who we should get on the pod. They're not going unnoticed. We first did Matt Janella. He was amazing. Please, if you haven't seen that or listened to that one, that was a good conversation with Matty. And then we've got Chris Trott, Trotty Golf, as you know him, dropped tons of knowledge. And we got someone who is one of the most knowledgeable guys in the club fitting game from TXG Tour Experience Golf up in Toronto, Canada, and probably you know them from YouTube, Ian Fraser, who again is just at the top of his game. And we talk a lot, instead of going nerd out on golf equipment, we talk a lot about content and how he's used the YouTube channel to grow his business. And then we get into some of the golf club questions that you submitted via Instagram. You can always do that at Brian Golf, Brian with a Y. We'll continue knocking some of these out. If you have any recommendations of who you want to get on the pod, please hit me up. We'll get them on the Hanger Hotlines presented by Watson Golf. Next up, you have a great conversation that I believe you will enjoy with Ian Fraser.
The Brian Golf Show.
Four!
Presented by Cobra Puma Golf.
That was an excellent shot.
Yeah, real good form.
I'm going to just say it. I've got anxiety, and it's not because I'm nervous. It's because there's just not enough time in the world, and you don't get a man like Ian Fraser, the CEO and founder of Tour Experience Golf, as most of us know via YouTube and social media, and all our Canadian friends and beyond know him as TXG. Ian, welcome to the pod. Thanks for taking the time.
Buddy, thanks for reaching out and inviting me on. This is huge for me.
You know, I feel like, and I don't want to short you at all, your origin story has been told many times before. You can go over to the Gear Dive with Johnny Wander on golfwrx.com, and, you know, you can hear how you got into fitting. And I just think two guys that have a little bit in common when it comes to content, the content you create, not just on social, but, I mean, YouTube is insane. I feel like we can bring a lot of value to people just having you kind of discuss the content side of things, how you went from just a club fitter to a content creator that obviously has big gains for your business.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, we probably, our networks cross over a decent amount to our YouTube stuff, to your online presence, through Johnny's online presence and WRX, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I think most people probably heard a little bit about TXG, or maybe you know, heard other people talking about it and kind of maybe the story. So I'm more than happy to skip past telling that one again.
I only have so much time with you, you know. It's like, thanks to the current state of the world, you know, and I'm not happy about it.
It's wild. We have a $100,000 penalty if you're seen with a golf club in your hand.
Oh my God.
If you're on the golf course with a golf club in your hand, is a $100,000 penalty. Matt and I are trying to hide it. We're trying to, you know, paper up the windows here so we can still play indoors.
Now, they're not, look, they're when you're closed doors and you guys are going in, and obviously you're like a business owner in a sense, you know, you they can't stop you guys from going in and hitting balls, but that's funny. That's a risk. There's a bit somewhere in there.
I know. Well, I mean, the thing is, the way we looked at it, we looked at whether we should continue to do our YouTube content. And you know, I said to Matt, I said, we're way higher risk to ourselves than everyone else if we go and buy a carton of milk.
Yep.
If you go into the supermarket right now, you're way higher risk of either contracting or spreading infection than you are if we come and do our content and we can sort of put some good stuff out there for people to enjoy while they're stuck at home. So why not keep doing it?
Yeah, I think now's kind of the time, man. I mean, like, as far as that goes, it's, you know, there's a lot of places, a la like the Club Champions and True Specs of the world, where they're kind of just sitting there with their thumbs and their hands all tied behind their back, where y'all can still benefit from this in a sense, because you can create, you can still reach your audience and probably still turn up some sales.
We can do a little bit of that, and we can also continue to grow the brand, which is really important at this time. So I think for everyone, strategically placing yourself so that when the restrictions are lifted on us, that you are in the fast lane ready to go is going to be the key to this whole thing.
Yeah, no kidding. That is going to be big. I mean, look, you know, I was talking to Trotty and we were just talking about how we're not, it's not like we've been slow or dead, you know, just doing absolutely nothing. Like in fact, if you're doing the content side of things, you're staying pretty busy right now because you have nothing else to do.
Yep, I've actually just finished 36 holes. I took a long flight out to Dubai and I played a quick 18 at the Emirates, and then I took a scoot out to the West Coast and I played a quick 18 at Spanish Bay today. So It's been a good day.
Are you sneaking around like burglars, though, like little black masks and sneaking in the TXG?
It feels a little bit like that. I'm not going to lie, Brian. But, you know, when I think the grand scheme of things, we're providing a value out there and we are sort of restricting any implications of infection to ourselves and to anyone else by just isolating ourselves. We said to each other when all this thing hit and businesses were shutting down left and right, the only way that we could continue to do content was to create a vacuum in our own homes and when we get here. So literally, I will see three people in the week. I'll see Matt, I'll see Tracy, and I'll see Noah. That is literally it. Three people at all times. And because of that, I feel pretty comfortable with kind of carrying on doing it for now.
Yeah, because there is that in the back of your head where you're like, man, am I being extremely selfish right now? Am I like pushing it? Yeah, that's constantly every time we do anything, even if it's just going and getting gas, you're just like, ah, man, are we doing the right thing? But, you know, for you, you are providing value. Let's just talk, you know, as if COVID-19 wasn't a thing. You provide so much value to so many people, not just fitters, but, you know, golfers around the world watch your channel. You take your expertise, you share it with everyone. It not only helps your business, but it just helps golf. And it really helps golf content. It's great. You know, I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody came to me and said, oh, I watched TXG on YouTube and I learned this and I learned that, because it is very beneficial. So from everyone in the golf industry, hopefully they're like me and they're more thankful for what you guys do than they are anything other than that.
That's so kind of you to say. And I think most of the reaction that we've been getting has been along those lines. There's a few people, don't get me wrong, that have said to us, shouldn't you guys be standing 2 meters apart? Shouldn't you guys be, you know, abiding by the same rules as everyone else? And I mean, we are taking precautions. Even you know, Matt was saying when we were doing a live earlier on, we shouldn't be in the same sort of space at the same time. I completely agree. So even in the same space, we're trying to still abide by the rules. But I think in the grand scheme of things, when we look at, you know, the landscape of this, we're doing a pretty good job of isolating ourselves in here. So hopefully we can continue to put some content out there and keep the entertainment going.
Well, Ian, as we start talking here, I'm going to pretend that I know nothing. I know nothing about content. I know nothing about club fitting. I want to pick your brain and, you know, I want to hear what you have to say about, you know, a few things when it comes to this. And as a fitter, building TXG and then going, look, the only way we can make this grow and be what your vision is, where in line did you go, I've got to do this because this is actually what's going to make my business grow 10 times over the next 5 to 10 years?
At some point over the last 10 years, the sort of people that I had around me were very, very secretive about sharing information and knowledge and kind of they thought it was like, let's keep this to ourselves and let's kind of, you know, bottle this and keep it for our own, which is a really, really narrow-minded way to look at the world. I think if you look at all the top chefs in the world, what do they do? And they give away the recipes. You look at Gordon Ramsay, Mario Batali, you know, you look at these top chefs, what do? They put out cookbook after cookbook and, you know, online content, they just give it away, but it doesn't take away from who they are. They just give and they create bigger brands for themselves. And I always love that approach to it. So when it comes to sort of what we do, I try to, you know, combine that with the Gary Vee model, which is just output, output, output.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, I learned in radio was just, you just can't create enough. You know, you've always got to be creating because it kind of never stops. You know, radio is 24/7, online content is 24/7. And that was true 10 years ago and it's true today. So what is a day for Ian like?
I mean, if I was to give you a run through the day, it's a long one. I mean, and it starts, well, there's a few things that allow me to do a lot of output in a day. And that is abiding by a few key rules. One of them is to work out every day. One of them is to eat well every day. And one of them is to sleep well every night. So as long as those three pillars are in place, I can go as fast and as hard as I want and have zero issue about burning out. Any time I burn out is when I miss one of my three pillars of kind of promises that I make to myself. So So within that, then I'll go ahead to work out about 6. I'll be back home by about 8. I'll be out the door by 9. I'll be in work by 10, and I'll work till about 8. And then I'll get home and make sure I get good food and a good night's sleep. So it's a full on day.
And then on top of it, congratulations. You're a father recently.
Yeah.
That's just a whole nother thing that you can't even count that as part of your day because that's the real focus. And I'm assuming that's a lot of why you do what you do and why you work as hard as you do.
1,000%. Your life, I mean, you're in the same position. It's an absolute game changer when you look at that little face. So I do the morning shift with Noah, get him up, feed him. You know, he normally settles back down and he's in for another sleep. But you wake up with that face, you know, just lighting up your day. I mean, and it's kind of cheesy and it's you know, another pillar of, I think, of most people's day. If they don't already have it, they should do, is just having that gratitude. And it's a gratitude for where you stand in your life and what you have in your life. And for him right now, I have no reason ever to go to bed or to wake up without that feeling of gratitude every single day. And that's an amazing thing for me.
Let's get into fitting just a touch, you know, like just some of the things that people see on a day-to-day when they watch your YouTube content, are they missing out on through the fitting experience? And do you find it a challenge to work some of those fittings into your content just based on, you know, sometimes, you know, people need to sign a waiver and give you permission and do all these things. What are some of the challenges with the content and the fitting altogether?
Well, we kind of separate it quite strictly. So I think Matt and I start the week with our filming. So we only film on a Monday. So although we put out content 5 out of 7 days normally, we only film on a Monday, and we are closed with PXG Sunday and Monday. So I can really separate that week from content and from fitting. So Monday I'm Ian the content creator, and from Tuesday onwards the rest of the week I'm Ian the business owner, CEO, and club fitter. So it's quite easy to draw that line for me.
Now, why does the industry seem to close on Mondays? I've always wondered.
Yeah, I think there's give and take with regards to you're taking away one day of the weekend, so you kind of have to give one back during the week. So you need to basically that practical stuff done. So you need something to pay bills or make a visit to, you know, UPS and send something. So I just like the balance of our guys. They like working on Saturday. It's like in a short day, 9 to 5 for us. And then, you know, they get a Monday and they can go play golf or they can run errands or just spend it with their family. So I think everything in balance is always good.
I loved when my schedule was Sunday, Monday off. I hated when I had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday work off Thursday. Like, okay, what do I do with one day? Okay, Thursday, cool. And then you work Friday, Saturday, and then, you know, off Sunday. But then it's like, you never have like a full, I think 2 days is important to have off in a row. And especially when you're talking about content, right? So for me, you know, when I was trying to film, do certain things outside of work, it's like, well, either Sundays for family or Thursdays for family, because I'm going to put an 8-hour day at the golf course in one way or another, just creating content. So, you know, but having 2 days in a row, it kind of lessened that a little bit. It lessened the pressure, you know, being able to get it done. Say you get rained out on a Thursday, something you don't ever have to worry about because you're indoors and you've got the place all to yourself on Monday, which I know is it's probably a really big bonus just being able to walk in and know that, look, I'm here to film and that's it.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think the other thing with having a 2-day weekend as well is that it gives you the option, should you want to extend those at the odd time and maybe take a day either side or take both days either side and stretch that into what feels like a little mini vacation. I think it gives you that nice little option as well where you can maybe get away for a few days and clear your head.
When you go home, do you shut off?
Always going. And I mean, it's a blessing and a curse in that we are also connected. I mean, I think sometimes we almost do more work when we get away. I feel like my time in the bay right now, when I go into the bay for 2 full bags, 2 ultimate bags back-to-back, which is about 9 to 10 hours worth of fitting, I feel like that's the time where I get disconnected. So the phone has to go away. You stop answering messages, et cetera, et cetera. So it's my time either side of that. I can manage a little bit in the morning and a little bit at night. But what it turns into is a 13, 14-hour day, every day. So it is a blessing and a curse to be so connected to social media, to, you know, all of our other platforms, whether it be, you know, getting on from trying to help Matt with some of the YouTube. I mean, that's the other thing. You really have to surround yourself with incredible people and have that. And I feel very fortunate that having great partners around me, whether it be in the business or the YouTube channel with Matt in the YouTube channel and with Mike, that makes a lot easier as well, because you're not always the one shouldering the burden of the thing. So if I need to be the boss and the CEO at THG, I know Matt will hold up, you know, the YouTube channel and the questions, and he'll do an amazing job there. Mike does the same thing for me at THG. If I'm away on a road trip with Matt, we're away filming somewhere. So I think always having great people around your team.
You've got a good team there. Are you in the process of looking at expanding more stores? Are you going to stick in, you know, look, obviously you're not from Canada. You're from Scotland. So are there plans to do any type of expansion with TXG, whether it's, you know, across the pond, south, or just continuing to grow in Canada?
Yeah, I think the nature of the growth of the company will kind of force our hand in that direction. So the YouTube channel, there's no doubt about it, has really accelerated the growth of the company. You know, that will always go down in my mind as the best decision we ever made, and it has been a game changer since we've done it.
Ian, what percent of the people you got coming into TXG are actually from YouTube?
Into my own day, at least 80% now.
How many of them are from America?
More than from Canada.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think that. But most people I've seen in the week have flown in from somewhere.
That's why I got into the golf industry, Ian, because Mel and I did some little things on, you know, I loved golf, but I was on the radio and we did some little things where we were dipping our toes and we started selling things on Instagram. And next thing I know, I was like, looked at my wife and said, Mel, there's no reason, like, if I go into the golf industry full time, that I can't just rack up transactions. And it started to grow and it started to grow. And at that point, that's literally why I'm in the golf industry now, is because of the possibilities of what I saw with the growth of online business and social media and kind of developing your brand, or in my case, that personal brand. Even in, I mean, your case, I mean, look, you're the founder of TXG. It is kind of your personal brand. I mean, it's going to be impossible for somebody to say TXG and not instantly think of Ian Fraser, and vice versa. So I'm shocked that more Americans are coming than Canada, just because, one, Toronto, you're in a good spot. I know that Canadians love their golf, but I'm not shocked at the 80% YouTube conversions.
Yeah, I think if I look at what we do, and you know, your brand has been around a lot longer, certainly than even mine or THG, but what you have built, Brian, and the reason people will buy things from you and go to your tournaments and just interact with you, is you just build trust in your brand. People buy into you and buy into what it is that you offer, and which is good products, which is great events, and it's just a high level of service and interaction at all times. And that's ultimately what people are buying. You know, they're just buying into you as an individual, and what you and Mel do is absolute top draw. I can't wait to come to one of the events.
An event isn't an event until Ian comes. So until you come to one, it's not even an event. I mean, geez.
We're coming.
I'm trying to get him up north, man. If I got to do a Steez and Tees / TXG event in Toronto, I will. I mean, you just, you know, I can get my, what do you need? You don't even need a passport. You just need like an enhanced ID. I'll come to Canada for you, man. You don't have time to play 3 days of golf in a row. Be real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. In a sense, like, me playing two rounds today with Matt indoors, I'm counting that as two of my rounds for the year. That to me is me playing two rounds of golf, because I went through the motions and went through all that stuff. And I absolutely love getting the opportunity to even play indoors. It's awesome.
When I was fitting outdoors, there was an enjoyment of being out there and having TrackMan on the range. You know, I was at PGA National, so it was a great facility, you know, hosted a PGA Tour event in the Honda Classic. So you get that rush and that excitement of that environment. But nothing is better to me than the controlled environment of indoor fitting. And a lot of people, maybe not your people, but a lot of people in general, they're like, I just don't want to hit balls indoors. I don't trust it. I'm assuming you went with Foresight Sports GC Quad because it is just hands down the best indoors as far as accuracy goes.
Yeah, I mean, even to the point, Brian, we were so close to going with TrackMan. The first monitor we bought for THG was a TrackMan 4. When we built the Toronto store, we built Fitter's desks and we made a little section to house the TrackMan. We actually were going to build it into the desk, and we painted the interior of that little housing orange so that the TrackMan would kind of blend in and it would look kind of really sharp. So we got so close to going with TrackMan. And then all of a sudden, I was never a huge fan of GC2. It was kind of cumbersome to have to take the arm off and flip it into left-handed. And it was just a little difficult because we see so many left-handers up here. I don't think people in the US get a sense of, I mean, we literally, you know, almost 50-50, maybe 60-40 in favor of right hand, but we are likely to see a left-hander as we are a right-hander up here. So Quad made things a lot easier for us. And obviously the stripe mapping, the enhanced spin readings, all that sort of stuff, it just is a slightly more superior product indoors.
That's kind of how I felt about it, because I had one there for about a month, and I was doing some testing looking at, you know, where TrackMan will read something off the heel. It won't see the gear effect. It'll read like a heel cut as a heel draw. And then I put quad next to it, and the quad's got that thing as like this little bleeder cut that's 5 yards right of center, and you've got it 80 feet left of the center line on TrackMan and things like that. They're all amazing, obviously, but for when you're sitting here trying to build out, you know, you're talking about that trust. God, indoors, I'm excited for whenever Mel and I get to a point where we can have an indoor spot, just one little simulator bay, you know, whatever it is, whether it's just a fitting / hangout spot, whatever it is, I'm like really pumped to be able to just spend the time indoors knowing it's accurate and then being able to take it outside and getting good results as well.
That's exactly it. People underestimate the ability of Quad Outdoors to deliver continuity whether you're in or out. And people always ask me, what happens if you have an outdoor location? I will continue to use GC Quad because if I'm forced indoors with that player, I need to give them the same experience as they would have had outdoors. So I need the same readings whether I'm in or out. And the reality is, unless I'm 100% outdoors, I will always use a camera-based system.
I think it makes the world of a difference. And I think that's something important too for your content. Truthfully, there's a couple of reasons I didn't create as much content as I wanted working for Club Champion. I felt that for me personally, so many of my shots were so not accurate indoors with TrackMan, and it wouldn't do anyone good service as far as sharing the results of those tests.
Well, I really, and I know you like the guys at Club Champion, I have a really great relationship with Jolie. I've always had a great relationship with Jolie. So I'll be politically correct when it comes to the answer between TrackMan indoors and Quad indoors and you know, Club Champion use it because it's consistency and continuity to their brand. But I look at it like a big disadvantage for them. I really, really do. If I'm going up against them in a region and people are looking at the two, especially since they are 100%, they're not an indoor outdoor like TrueSpec. They are 100% indoor, and they're using a launch monitor that is only accurate if you hit it in the middle of the cup. That's a disadvantage.
Look, and to your point of being politically correct, I am extremely thankful for my time with them. I thought it was, it came at a good time. If anything, because of the way things have all shaken out, I just got paid for over a year and got an amazing education. Truthfully, it allows me to now do my own thing, which I kind of touched base with you a little bit on this, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the garage shop builder, because that's what I'm going to actually go down this route. I haven't made it 100% like official, but I've secured some accounts with some of our friends in the industry as far as custom shafts, components, and, you know, so I'm able to buy and sell, you know, golf equipment, just like the next guy, just like you would. Now, I'm not able to fit yet because we all know that costs a lot more money and there's a lot more logistics to go into that. But I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the challenges and then the benefits of starting it out of the garage. You know, people coming to me that know me from Instagram, trusting me with their clubs, building up custom sets, doing that whole deal.
Yeah, I think it's a model that is going to be wildly successful for you. I really do, because I know you can minimize your overhead. You have the audience, which is the hard bit to generate in the first place. And you know, you have built an audience that you're ready to rock and roll day one. So I think that's going to be wildly successful. You've got the account for DSA, so you're going to continue to deal with the best components in the world. You already have your education in the industry, so you're a great player. People know that of you. So I see nothing but great success for you doing that.
Are you ever scared of the person coming to you and how you challenge the person coming to you and them not being sold on the fitting that you gave them? You've been doing this a long time, so I'm sure you've had it to where they're like, I just don't believe it. Biggest waste of money I've ever had. Things like that. Like, how do you challenge the person that thinks that?
I can't honestly think of a time when the last time I faced that. I think one thing the YouTube channel has done, even prior to sort of having it, is it sort of almost pre-validates your skill set or kind of pre-qualifies you that you know what you're talking about. So I feel very, very fortunate. There's not too many people walking in there who are trying to win over their trust. I used to feel that as a young fitter. You know, I felt like the first 10, 15 minutes were crucial. I needed to give them a few key pieces of information in order to win over their trust. Okay, Jesus, this kid really knows what he's talking about. You don't have to do that as much anymore, which is nice.
It's kind of like the work you put in off the court. You know, if we're going to talk like the NBA player, you know, let's talk about, you know, your Toronto Raptors. I'm assuming you're a Raptors fan, you know. It's the work they put in off the court. And then, you know, when it's game time, you know, you're right. There's a lot of things that you don't have to worry about because you prepare and you've conditioned your audience, I guess, in a much like, I guess, how we have. You know, I always tell everybody, we have people that have been buying golf apparel and golf equipment off of us for 4 years on Instagram. They're used to buying it, so they don't even question sending us money anymore for product. So yeah, you're in that same boat as far as the time and the efforts you put in on YouTube and beyond paying off in the Bay. I was just curious. I thought that you would say something similar to what you said. I was just curious, you know, what those challenges are, if you had them. But
the only challenge I will say, Brian, is the only one that I do see, and I feel at times, I feel bad for, I feel a little bit kind of, you know, like it's sometimes because it's Matt and I on the channel. And it's a TXG channel, but really, you know, it's become Matt and I on the channel. And I really, really, in 2020, when everything passes with the COVID outbreak and all the rest of that, I really want to get the other employees, the other fitters and builders at TXG on the channel, because we've gotten to the point where there's a kind of overflow of people who come to us that maybe would have liked to come and see me, but my books are backed up 6 months or whatever it is. And they can't, so they want a fitting in the next 2 weeks. So they come and see me, Alex or Cam or John. And I can kind of almost see them like, can you go and ask him what he thinks? And you know, there's a little bit of that to it where, and that's not fair for our guys because they are brilliant fitters. They really are all brilliant fitters and builders. But, you know, there's that element of what they trust me because they're sick of hearing me for the last 2 years on YouTube. But they have built that trust. And I need to give the other boys the platform to build that same trust.
The moment you do is the moment that your business will then take a whole nother step and it'll grow that much more because people are going to connect with another one of your fitters or a fitter at this location, a fitter when you grow, you know, no, I want to go to the TXG in Los Angeles or I want to go to the TXG in Miami, whatever it is, right?
Well, that's what's important to me is that it's not, even, you know, TXG is not even, THG is a, it's a sort of, you know, it's a performance criteria. I, you know, I look at it actually like Nobu. When I built THG, I wanted to create basically Nobu. which is all about a standard. So you don't go to Nobu because you think you're going to get a specific chef. You go there because there's a standard. Every time you eat at Nobu, you know the food is unbelievable. And people go there and they, you know, they save up. And that's a real kind of bucket list thing, or really a something that you mark off in the calendar that you want to go and do that. That's what I wanted PXG to be, not about one person.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. I always call it that, you know, as far as what you're talking about, getting more people on camera, letting people know, hey, whether you're getting fit by, you know, Ian or another fitter, you're getting the same product. You're getting the same expertise. You know, you're getting that same good quality fit and build for you. I always call it the handprint, right? So it's like, as long as everyone follows the company handprint, you shouldn't be able to tell who did the fit or who did the build. It should all be as good as a TXG fitting or build should be or could be.
One beauty of being a small company right now, and certainly being in Toronto, moving into two locations, right now, I'm never more than 15 feet from any other person in TXG who's doing a fitting. So we're literally stuck together. And it's actually one of the reasons I designed it as more of an open plan layout this time, was because I wanted all of us to basically hear each other and hear how you explain certain things. And I just knew that whether you were listening or not, subconsciously, you would be absorbing that information. And that was great. So I positioned myself in the middle bay. I have fitters either side of me 24/7 when you're open. And you know, we all are absorbing, you know, each other's information, which is really, really good for the continuity of the message.
Oh, I love the vibe. As you're talking about like a vibe in a sense, right? Of the building and
creating energy. Yeah.
I mean, it matters. You know, people don't understand how much that matters.
You know, there's a reason, you know, we called it Tour Experience Golf for a very specific reason. That experience part in the middle there is so vital. That this is not a transaction. It's not a set of clubs. It's not a one and done deal. You know, we want this to be something that you look back on and go, wow, that really was an amazing experience to go and do that. And from start to finish, whether it's when you talk to Marianne and book your session, whether you come and see one of the teams, whether you have an interaction with the inventory team on the back end, and then the way you receive your club. Now, we're not foolish enough to tell everyone that it's rainbows and butterflies 24/7, but we give out a lot more, you know, of those good experiences to most of our clients, and we try to get to be as good as we can.
Well, Ian, I only got like 10 minutes left with you, but I do want, because we had a lot of questions come in when I threw that up on Instagram saying you're going to be on the pod. You know, let's answer some questions. I kind of sifted through them. I've got probably 7 questions that I think are pretty good. Just like I said earlier, I'm going to pretend I know nothing. I'm going to let you answer it, and that's it. I'm not even going to insert my opinion on these, okay? So from Kevin O'Brien, a good friend of ours, he said, what is the difference between the stock shaft that comes with the OEM driver and the one I would get in a custom fitting from a place like TXG?
Tolerances is the biggest answer. You're going to get a higher grade of premium graphite. So you're going to get something that's sourced at a higher cost, which is going to, you know, ultimately mean that the cost of the shaft is going to go up a little bit. But what that means is just, it's like Tour Issue and standard product. The difference is one is hand-picked and one is a mass-produced product. So you're going to get a product to type of tolerances.
Spot on. So this one I've always run into, and I think it's pretty interesting from Dylan, and because I just didn't think anybody was going to actually ask this, and somebody did. For someone fairly new to the game, would you recommend using iron set wedges? So the wedges that come with the irons, and I guess another way of saying that is, when do you know, is it time to go into your Vokey, RTX4s, your milled grinds, etc.?
That's a great question. We do our Q&A live, you know, once a week, right now, twice a week. I have not had that question. Maybe in the last year. That's a brilliant question. At the point when you are looking for more than retaining just ball speed from the strike. So the cavity back, if you're falling in from your iron, you're going to stick with that cavity bat because it saves you some energy loss from the mishit, basically. To the point where you advance beyond that, so you're taking advantage of the sole design, the milling and the grid pattern and all the good stuff that's on the face, all the tech. When you advance to the point where you're making consistent enough contact, then you're ready for something more advanced in the set wedges. But a lot of people could still do with retaining the ball speed to make sure that they even get the ball up to the flag.
That's just it. And then you got some wedges that are shaped somewhat more like a traditional. I mean, the CBX2 from Cleveland is one of my favorite wedges for that player that, you know, maybe could benefit. Yeah, could benefit from a little bit of that. But this one from Fred on the same lines of wedges, just because I kind of want to know this for myself, because there's always the conversation of bounce. And then I always kind of tend to focus more on grind and the shape of the sole. But Fred wants to know, bounce for a lob wedge on partial and flops, how low do you recommend?
Well, and you kind of preempted the absolute right answer to it. And bounce is never the way you should be thinking of it, because that's just you thinking of it in a one-dimensional way. You have to think of effective bounce. And almost all of these wedges now have a specific design if you play it square and a specific design if you open it up. Whether that 6004 L grind is 4 degrees when you have it square, it's certainly playing more than that when you open it up. So the effective bounce is actually more important for the necessary shots. So I think versatility is the key. One of the things that, if there's a little nugget in there that I can pass on, generally speaking, try to take a little bit more bounce when trying to keep that number up a little bit in the sand wedge and down a little bit in the lob wedge. For most people, that will serve you pretty well. You have to build versatility. Please, whatever you do, don't go with a 50-10 degree, a 54-10 degree, and a 60-10 degree, because you have zero versatility at that point.
What kind of wedges are you playing right now?
SM8. Just moved into some SM8. Really, I'm probably the most comfortable with my bag right now that I have. Maybe since I was playing full time, I'm going to say I'm pretty close to saying I'm the most comfortable that it's ever been.
I can say the exact same about my bag. I don't want to change a single thing about my bag right now. My irons are where they're at, and I want to order more of them so I can have them and just make copies of them. Like, my iron game has never been better. I love my driver. Real quick, someone did ask what's in your bag, so you can just real quick go through it. You don't have to get too specific, because I'm sure that content's available on your YouTube.
We've been saving it because I've just recently dialed in. There's maybe one or two changes still to come, but top to bottom right now, we've got Sim 9 Degree, Acra RPG Blue, we have TS3 Fairywood with graphic design DI7X, we have an old school Callaway X2 Hot Pro. That's probably the one that I've kept in there for definitely the longest time. I love that with a graphic design DI95X. I'm playing Titleist T100s 4-to-wedge. I have SM8 49-54-60. And I'm actually using a Mizuno M-Craft Type 1 putter right now, which I'm really actually enjoying.
Ooh, those are nice. Is yours blue?
It is, but the one I've got coming in is black. This was just the guys know of my sort of jokingly everything. I tend to kind of have in blue, so they brought me a blue one. Bouchard brought me a blue one when he's up here, but I'm going to go with the black and Type 1 with the Stability Tour in it. That's what I'm going to gain for the season.
Okay, let's do one last. This is a big one. This one question. This is a big one. I'm gonna add a little bit to it, but okay. The basic question, and before you answer, let me add something to it. But the question is mid-launch, mid-spin, not as tip-stiff shaft for Mizuno ST200. Miss is a right slice. Thanks. That's from KRYSM24. So the hardest thing in the world, and I struggle with it so much because I want nothing more than to just fit people through the phone. It would be the greatest thing ever if I never had to, you know, send me your swing, let me see that, and boom. But here's the answer. And hopefully we're going to get closer to that. But how do you answer these types of questions? Because I know you get them more than any. But we just both know from all of the fits, you know, over the years and whatnot, that that's just not how it works.
Dude, honestly, it's, you know, we're really close to giving some really decent answers into the mainstream sort of YouTube or golf industry or whatever it is. I mean, there's other people who know these answers as well. I have no idea why none of them will share the information that we all know, and that is, you know, bend profiles or shaft characteristics or designated characteristics. They mean literally nothing. I want to ask the guys, I want to get every shaft manufacturer to tell me how they create high launch, low spin shafts. How can you create a high launch, low spin shaft when ultimately those conditions can only be controlled by spin loft and strike point?
So see, like, and that's what more people I feel like need to hear, that kind of thing is you can't just say this is what it does, because that's just not how shafts work. And it's because of the human element, right? There's a lot of things going on here, but when you're sitting here and you go, you've got 10 golfers, the odds of those 10 golfers taking a shaft that is mid-spin, whatever mid-spin is too, I don't know what mid-spin, mid-launch is, because it could be, you know, middle, mid-spin, mid-launch is different for everyone. But I'm just saying, in a sense, like, those 10 golfers would not hit that shaft identical.
Well, I mean, we have been doing some research on gears, and we've been profiling shafts and swings to understand why shafts do different things at different times. So we've been looking at how we can map a golf swing to initiate more deflection and more droop. At what point does that happen? Head weight, CG location, those are two massive influences on that shaft as well. Are you someone who loads it and ultimately gets the shaft to deflect significantly into the ball? I'm not going to lie, until fairly recently, I thought having the shaft and lead deflection accelerating into the ball was what we all wanted. I thought that creating energy and movement towards the ball is what we wanted. And the more I'm worked with gears, the shaft in sort of in the neutral axis at impact is what you want. So again, how do you create a shaft that is in the neutral axis at impact? You ultimately have to just match up the shaft to the timing of the player. There is no such a thing as low launch, low spin. There's no such thing as high launch, low spin. There's just shafts that have different properties and profiles that deflect in different ways.
So, man, you just gave me a great drop for the promo for this, because I think players looking for that secret sauce in a shaft, they needed to hear that. Because as much as I would love it, because it would make our job easier, it's just not really a thing. Until that day, you got to go see people like Ian Fraser at TXG. Hopefully one day we can get in the Bay and kind of, you know, create some content. Selfishly, I would like to do that, just because the value you bring to everyone, it's just something that I mean, the biggest thank you for sharing it, being willing to share it, for people like me, newer in the industry and up and coming and wanting to continue down this path of golf and golf equipment. It's something I'm extremely thankful for, not just as a fitter and builder, but even as a content creator. And I hope you know how much you're appreciated in the game.
Well, I think we're all in a very fortunate position, Bri, right now, that we kind of have these relationships, and you and I are you know, have built a great relationship, and we'll continue to build a stronger one. And we just have to continue to use the platform we have. It's a microphone right now that we can sort of help debunk some of the myths and unfortunate concepts that people believe in our industry. But, you know, good people like you and, you know, what we try and do, and there's so many other great people out there who are doing the same. We just have to continue to beat that drum, and I'm always available for your podcast.